a very important book for you to read and to be acquainted with, because in the Bible is marked out your destiny. Some people, you know, are quite taken up with the future. They want to dabble into all kinds of means in order to know what the future holds for them. And they go, of course, to the wrong places to find out what the future holds for them, when all the time it's written here on God's pages, bright and fair, your destiny, where that is you're going. It's all already worked out. It was, in fact, planned before even the foundation of the world, let alone before you were born. In the Bible, it is made clear what the end is of your earthly existence and what, of course, will happen to you thereafter. Many people have adopted, of course, the foolish notion that when you're dead, you're dead, it's all over. Wishful thinking, just like the godlessness of the day and generation in which you live. It's that fanciful notion, it goes with it, the fanciful notion, or should I say rather, the foolish notion that there is no God. Why do people, why is that popular today? Well, they think to themselves that it releases them, it frees them to live the way, of course, that you see people living in your society and in your world today. Godless, immoral living. But of course, well, if you look at the fruit of that, if that's what you want, well, seems to me in a fashion that God has already said, if that's what they want, well, they can have it. And he gives you a shove in that foolish direction with that foolish notion, of course, that you've embraced. But make no mistake about it, the Bible addresses such, all such. God says in his word, it is the fool who has said in his heart that there is no God. When, of course, the obvious is evident, that is to say, there is evidence, the opposite, of course, is as plain as the nose on your face, that there is a God. I mean, everything God says that he has created, all the things that he has made, make it obvious to even a child. In fact, for a child, you have to teach the child your godlessness. It won't naturally come to that conclusion. And I dare say that for the most of you, from the cradle, you've been taught the same foolishness by equally foolish parents, by foolish school teachers, secondary schools, colleges, universities, through your media, through means of television, music, stories, everything imbibed, absolutely and utterly indoctrinated with the foolish godlessness. Some people, of course, well, they go the extra mile to convince themselves of the notion. They say, well, I'm not religious, thank you very much, so I don't want to know about the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ and about an eternal existence in heaven. Such I don't want to know about, because I want to live my life the way that I please. I want to be foolish. I want to be drunken. I want to do drugs. I want to be immoral. I want to indulge in uncleanness. I want to indulge myself in my sin, they say. And so they excuse themselves by saying, but the foolish notion, I'm not religious. There is no such thing as an a-religious person in all the world. Everybody has their own religion. Your godless atheism is just another religion. Same as Hinduism, Islam, Romanism, atheism is just another religious label. And of course, the religion of the foolish atheist is, his creed is, there is no God. That's what you believe, not what you can prove. False science and false philosophy will never prove, will never bring you evidence for your religious notion. It is only what you believe, not what you can prove. So, you see, you are just as religious as anybody else. Don't fool yourself with the fanciful notion and foolish notion that you're not religious, and that will free you, release you from any judgment of God. The truth is there before you, God says, by everything, all that He has made, whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, whatever your background might be, God says, oh man, you are without excuse. You know that God is, because He has showed it unto you. Oh, you know, okay, but you bury the truth, you suppress the truth in unrighteousness, in ungodliness. You suppress the truth, refuse to acknowledge the truth, exchange the truth for a lie, instead of embracing the truth of God's revealed word, you embrace the lie, the false philosophy of evolution, exchanging the truth for a lie. But lies, of course, will not set you free, will not liberate you, will not free you from the justice of Almighty God when that day comes. The Bible, you see, makes it clear that we are all of us, every single one of us, born in sin, conceived in sin, and therefore from those sinful natures come sinful desires and sinful actions. The sinful desires, of course, well, they are aligned with the foolish notions that you take on board, wishing, for instance, that there is no God. But that will not do. That will not do. Yet working, of course, if you look at the fruit, as Jesus says you ought to do, you shall know them by their fruits. The truth is known, you see, by its fruit and by what it provides. It provides freedom from the condemnation of sin. It provides freedom from the judgment of God. It provides the freedom of God's salvation, the love, mercy, kindness, and goodness of God. But of course, if you look at the fruit of your godless atheism, and you look at what is done to your nation, does to your children and to their children, if you look at the fruit, examine the thing by its fruit, what it provides, what it produces, what the outcome, the consequences of it is, well, it's as plain, as I say, as the nose on your face. But of course, the other matter is, do you really want to know the truth? I think I perceive that that is the basic problem. You don't want to know the truth. You're quite happy to be deluded. You're quite happy to live, yes, even with the fruit, the consequences of your foolish, godless atheism. Now, but for those of you who are inclined towards a slight desire, maybe, to know the truth, well, the truth, Jesus says, will make you free. The truth, that is, about yourself, and the truth about God and what God requires of you. But of course, as I say, examine the fruit. Look at your society. Look at the condition that you're in, spiritually and morally, throughout the land. I mean, for instance, well, you could start at the top. Your government, you haven't got a man of integrity, you haven't got a single politician, a man of wisdom, a man of integrity to govern the nation that you live in. You are ruled by fools and blind. You live in a nation that is unmanageable, and you live and you're governed by people with an inability to manage. That, of course, has been made evident over just this last week. Even if you had a wise man amongst you, even if you had a man of integrity to govern your nation, you would not be governed, because you are so rebellious, so wickedly and evilly rebellious. You would have to be very sorely chastened, even whipped into obedience. Such is the rebellion in your nation. That's one of the fruits of the rebellion against God, against your Maker. That is one of the fruits of your godless atheism. Then, of course, another fruit is the death and carnage in your nation. I mean, for instance, God says in His Word in the Bible, those that hate me love death. That's another evident truth in your society. A people who hate God love death. Abortion, killing, destroying, the murder, and there's no other name for it, the murder of innocent, unborn infants in their millions since the Abortion Act was passed in 1967. then of course you've already begun to murder them at the other end. In your National Health Service, it is known that aged, afflicted, infirm people are already being murdered. Murdered. That's the only description that fits it. It won't be long before an aged society, which is costing the state far too much, they'll be finding out other ways of killing, of murdering older people. It will come, believe me. And then, of course, in between, you've got all kinds of diseases transmitted one person to another because of the filthy, unclean, immoral lifestyle that passes these diseases on and kills more human beings. So you see, the truth that those who hate me, says God, love death. You love death. It abounds amongst you in your society. You love death and you hate life. You hate the one God, that is, who is able to give you life, abundant life, eternal life, as opposed to the death that you are producing in your society. So there, you see, is another fruit. Death is written large all over your nation. Death, death, death everywhere. You live for death. That's what godless atheism produces. That's the fruit of your godlessness, your fanciful evolutionary notion. Then, of course, there are other fruits too. I mean, ask yourself, since you imbibed this godless atheism, are you a better nation? I mean, is there more kindness? Is there more love? Is there more decency? Is there more respect for the elderly, for the young? Well, for people in general. Is that what you find in your godless notions? Your fanciful idea that there is no God? Is that what you find today in 2012? A loving, respectful and kind society? Maybe that's what we once were in former days when the gospel was preached amongst you and many people believed it. But not today, it's not. No, not since you've been indoctrinated with foolish Darwinism and Dawkinism. Now you're wicked and rebellious. Now you're young people, you can't get them, generally speaking of course, to get a blind thing they're told to do, to obey. They are wicked and rebellious. School teachers can't control them, the police can't control them, and neither can the courts. Another fruit, you see, consequence of your rebellion against your Maker, against God. By their fruits, Jesus says, ye shall know them. And the fruit of your notion of godlessness, well, there is another one. A society that does not care for, respect its young, its old, or anybody else. Are you any better? Are you any more prosperous? You're facing a financial catastrophe that has, believe me, not gone away. and neither will it go away. I tell you, mark my words, it's going to get worse, not better. You see, the judgment of God is in your face, you might say, to use your own language. It's all over you. The Bible, it says that the wrath of God, the holy displeasure of God, judgment of God, the wrath of God is revealed, being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And wherever you look in your society, wherever you look in your world, you will find, you will see evidences of God's wrath, His holy displeasure against ungodly people. It is evident in what you call natural disasters. There is no such thing. Everything, absolutely everything in this world has a first cause. And the first cause of everything is God Himself. There is nothing happens in this universe, in this world, without God wills it. So what you call natural disasters is, in a word, God's will. He has 1,000,000,000 ways by which He can remove yourself, myself, anybody else, any number of people out of this world in a nanosecond. Believe me, the sword of God's judgment hangs over you like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall upon you at any given moment. But should you prefer to live, to continue to live, or rather, should I say exist, should you wish to continue to exist in your foolish notion that there is no God, live in the way that you are and have been living in your sin. In the words of Jesus Christ Himself, if you do not believe that He is who He says He is, you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, the Bible says you will perish in your sin. You will go to the place the Bible calls hell, or if you like, damnation. That is the end of all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The full, final, eternal wrath of God will fall upon you. So you see how important it is that you read the Bible for yourself, that you understand that there is most certainly something to be saved from. You see, ultimately, the very reason why God gave you the Bible in this land was not just so that you could read it, be intrigued with its ideas and thoughts, but that you should believe every single word of it. Because it's believing, it's faith, you see, it is trusting in the truth revealed in Jesus Christ, He who Himself is the embodiment of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is believing the truth, and that only, that will liberate you, set you free from the foolish notion that there is no God, from the condemnation that you are already under because of your sin, that will liberate, that will set you free from, of course, the many, many and awful addictions manifest in your society today. In the Bible, for instance, you can read these words: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ that is, shall be saved. Saved, that is, from sin's penalty. Because you see, sin has a penalty. Its penalty is death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Carry on, kid. So like I say, people, there's only one way to prove that you're not a sinner, you're not involved in sin. The only way you'll ever prove that is by not dying. Everybody dies. It is appointed unto man once to die. Why? Because we're all sinners. Because as God's word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, you see, the person, whosoever shall call in faith on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from sin's penalty. How come, you see? Because Jesus paid the penalty. He died in the place, in the room of sinners. Those, that is, who will believe on his name. He takes their sin upon himself. He wasn't dying for sins he had committed, but for sins you and I have committed. So, there's the first point of salvation: saved from the penalty of sin. But saved too from the power of sin. Is it not evident, and abundantly so, in your society today? The many, many addictions that people have. We go to the chemist shop for patches. Why? Because we haven't got the strength, we haven't got the power to overcome these addictions, whatever they might be. Alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, immorality, you name it, addictions abound. How can a person be free of them? Well, we know the psychobabble doesn't work. Some of you have tried it and it doesn't work. You see, all these addictions are just the clear indication of a greater addiction inside of you, inside all of you. The addiction to sin. You see, people, we're all addicted to it, and you, I, are not strong enough in our own power and strength to break the power, cancel the power, and overcome that addiction. You need somebody stronger than you, stronger than me, and even stronger than any religion. Believe me, religion is not the answer. Jesus Christ came to destroy religion. He came to abolish religion. He nailed it to his cross. No, people, there is only one person who can liberate you from the powerful, mighty, vice-like grip of sin, and that person is Jesus Christ himself. He alone can set you free. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ that is, shall be saved from sin's power and sin's penalty. The wages of sin is death. But whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from the presence of sin. Surely, maybe for some of you at least, in your quieter moments, you must reflect and you must think to yourself, surely, surely there must be something better than this sin-cursed, tormented, vile, wicked, unclean world in which I live. And the answer to that question is, yes, there is. And that something better is called the kingdom of God. It doesn't come, Jesus says, with observation. You cannot point to it up there, down there, over here. The kingdom of God comes to a person's heart. And in order to enter God's kingdom, Jesus says, a man must be born again. Not become religious, but be born again. He must be born again. You see, except a man be born again, Jesus says, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. But when the kingdom of God comes to a man or woman's heart, believe me, it is a dimension of life that surpasses anything that you could ever have wished for or imagined. Hope that does not disappoint. Hope that is sure and concrete as God is. Joy, says Jesus, that nobody can take away from you. Circumstances cannot alter. A lasting, everlasting joy. And of course, not to mention the greatest of these, the love of God in Jesus Christ. But these, of course, come to people because they believe and for no other reason. Not because they're religious, not because they're good, not because they're better than others, but simply because they have believed, truly believed, on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He that believeth on the Son, you see, hath life, abundant life, not existence, eternal life. He that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth upon them. So, you see, people, the Bible is truly and very, very important. And it's important, it's vital, that you do not take somebody else's word for this, not even mine, but that you read the Bible for yourself and understand what God has to say about you, about Himself, and what He requires of you. In the Bible, you can find out the truth. There in the Bible is revealed for you all that you need to know. Trustworthy record. It's the Word of God, and able to make you wise. Take away the foolish, the daft notion that there is no God. It has the ability to clear your head of all the nonsense taught to you by foolish parents, foolish teachers, foolish Dawkins and foolish Darwin. Able to purge your mind of all that foolishness to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So people, I urge you, get a copy of the Bible and read for yourself. Or if you please, Mark's Gospel, very good place, simple place to begin. And reveal to you the King Jesus, who died on a cross and who rose again from the dead, that you might know eternal life, that you might know the truth and the truth set you free. It's offered to you free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But people, it is God's word. It is the only word that you can trust. Outside of the Bible, there is no truth. All men are liars, says God. Trust in God. That's the wise thing to do. Hope in God. That's the wise thing to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is God's commandment, and the promise attached to it is, and thou shalt be saved from sin's penalty, power, presence, saved, eternal and everlasting life and freedom from the judgment of God and the wrath which is to come. You would like a copy of God's word? It is offered to you free of charge, without obligation to you. I shall be gone in a few seconds, but you'd like one, you come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy on your souls.